Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. ACE is an acronym for Adverse Childhood Experience, a concept that originated in 1990s research by two doctors, one at Kaiser Permanente and the other at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The original ACEs study surveyed more than 17,000 Kaiser patients and discovered the impact of adverse childhood events on their lives and health, and found a direct correlation between the number of ACEs and poor health outcomes. ACEs can lead to toxic stress, which has profound and lasting impact on children's brains and can wind up causing premature disease and death. My guest today has studied the impact of toxic stress, and she created the Center for Youth Wellness in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood of San Francisco to diagnose, treat, and study the effects of toxic stress on children, and to find ways to prevent ACEs from occurring and leading to toxic stress. Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris is a pediatrician by training with an added degree in public health, and she's just written a new book called The Deepest Well, Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. Dr. Burke-Harris was featured in a 2011 New Yorker profile, which garnered her interest from supporters and helped her raise funds to build her advocacy center. She also has a TED Talk you can watch that's been viewed more than 3.5 million times. Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, founder and CEO of San Francisco's Center for Youth Wellness and author of the new book about ACEs called The Deepest Well, is my guest today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, welcome to Medical Monday. I want to start by asking you to define what ACEs are.
Sure. The term adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, refers to 10 categories of adversities that individuals can experience in childhood, and that came from the big study that was done by the CDC and Kaiser Permanente. And the categories that they specifically asked about included physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, physical or emotional neglect, or growing up in a household where a parent was mentally ill, substance dependent, incarcerated, where there was parental separation or divorce, or domestic violence. And the big thing about the research and the term ACEs was that, one, this big study by the CDC found that these things were incredibly common. But the second was that the higher the number of ACEs a person has, the greater the risk to their health.
So how common are they?
Extremely common, as it turns out. So in the CDC study, they asked about 17,500 people, and about two-thirds of their population had at least one adverse childhood experience, and 1 in 8 folks had 4 or more. And that data has now been repeated in 32 states and the District of Columbia. And all of those reporting their data report very similar numbers.
Let's be specific. You mentioned the domains, but what are, so for example, if a child has a parent who is incarcerated, or if a mm-hmm. child has parents that are divorced, those are each considered a discrete adverse event. And mm-hmm. then there's a list, and you have this in an appendix of your book, and you can certainly look online, and the CDC has it as well, and you can calculate your own ACE score.
Yes, that's right. So of those 10 ACE categories, for example, you know, abuse is one category, but it doesn't specifically relate to how many times, right? Whether it occurred, you know, 1,000 times or 100 times, it doesn't. It's still one category of abuse. And the way that the ACE score accumulates is that the more categories an individual has, then the greater the risk to their health. And that was what the ACE study found. And obviously, typically, a lot of these things don't happen just once. Like, you know, if there's physical abuse, oftentimes it's repeated. And I think that's what's reflected in the ACE data.
What's striking about this is it's probably not going to surprise any listener that if you have had an adverse childhood event, you may well have an emotional consequence. You may have depression or anxiety, very common types of garden variety mental illnesses or afflictions. But what you have found through your work and the work of many others is that ACEs predict or portend even changes at the cellular level. Can you explain how that happens, or at least what we know about it, and what actually, you know, because it's not just emotional things. It's quite what we'd call physical things too.
Yeah, that's right. So when we say the higher your ACE score, the higher your risk to your health, we're talking about what the study found is that for a person with 4 or more adverse childhood experiences, their risk for heart disease, which is the number one killer in the United States, is double. For stroke, it's 2.5 times. For chronic lung disease, it's almost 4 times. And initially, when they first did this research, the researchers thought that it was because, you know, when folks have a rough childhood, they're more likely to engage in high-risk behaviors like drinking or overeating or smoking. And they thought that was the reason for the increased health risk. And that is only partially true. It turns out, actually, that when we, you know, fully account for the impact of health-damaging behavior, that only accounts for about half of the increased risk, right? So that's great news that if you don't do any of these health-damaging behaviors, you can really reduce your risk. But the second piece of that is that even if you don't engage in any high-risk behavior, you're still at increased risk. And the reason for that has to do with how early adversity literally gets under our skin and changes our biology. So ultimately, it all boils down to our fight-or-flight response. This is our, you know, body's natural biological response where we release high doses of stress hormones when we're faced with something scary. And these stress hormones, including adrenaline and cortisol, they have lots of activities in the body, right? They activate the brain, they activate the hormonal system, our immune system, and they can even ultimately change the way our DNA is read and transcribed. And really, the advancement in the science about that has really happened in the last couple decades, where we're better understanding that these long-term changes are what medicine is now calling toxic stress, which is the overactivity of the stress response that leads to changes all the way down to our DNA.
And this, I can't emphasize enough how sort of, you know, surprising this is. And you highlight this a number of different ways, both in your book and in some of the other material, like in your TED talk that I've looked at, which is we're not really taught this in medical school at all. I mean, so this is still, unfortunately, you know, a couple decades in, kind of cutting edge. And, you know, we think of, you know, conditions or diseases as a constellation of, you know, genetics and behavior. But what you have found out and what you've really delved into is how toxic stress, as you call it, really impacts, you know, the neural development and really the whole kind of hormonal axis of a child and kind of leads to permanent disruption sometimes.
That's right. So it can lead to long-term changes. But it's interesting. I tend to shy away from the word permanent because I think that as we learn more and more about the science of toxic stress and the biology of how that happens, we're getting more and more tools to understand what we can do about it. And one of the things I think is really important about this research is this understanding that it's actually never too late to start improving your health if you are an individual who has experienced childhood adversity and, you know, you yourself might have an overactive stress response.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Dr. Nadine Brooke Harris. She's the founder and CEO of the Center for Youth Wellness in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood in San Francisco. And she has a brand new book out that is called The Deepest Well, Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. One of the things I love about this book is that it is really written well for, I would say, the lay reader to really kind of understand these concepts of how toxic stress can impact youngsters and have a profound impact on really all of our health going forward. But it also reads like a really good memoir because you get into very, you know, personal detail about your own journey, your own educational journey, your professional journey. And I was wondering if you could share with our listeners just how, you know, almost fresh out of medical residency, and at this point, I think you also had a degree in public health, you got buy-in from the hospital CEO to sort of start your own clinic, and that was only the beginning of the journey.
Yeah, that's right. So I, when I finished my pediatrics training at Stanford, I really wanted to be in a place where I could make a difference and where I could use my training to improve the health of communities. And so I had this crazy harebrained idea, right, that I was going to start a clinic in one of San Francisco's poorest and most underserved neighborhoods. And I will say the wildest thing about it was that the CEO of California Pacific Medical Center, Dr. Martin Brotman, totally got behind me. He really supported me. And, you know, I remember literally it was my second week on the job. I started writing this business plan. for the Bayview Child Health Center. And after we submitted it to Dr. Brotman, 18 months later, that center was open. So it was a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, just what a visionary he must be to, you know, believe in you like that. And you clearly must have written a very good business plan. Tell us a little bit about Bayview. It's not a neighborhood most people who are tourists and go to San Francisco are familiar with. I was not even aware of it, and it had some difficult history in terms of environmental cleanup.
Yeah, that's right. So Bayview Hunters Point is in the southeast side of San Francisco. And in fact, one of San Francisco's, you know, formerly one of the most well-known landmarks in San Francisco, Candlestick Park, or what was formerly Candlestick Park. I think they've changed the name a couple of times. Is actually in Bayview Hunters Point, and it's a neighborhood of families. It has one of the highest rates of home ownership in the city. It's a neighborhood of kids. It's the highest number of kids per capita in San Francisco. But it's also one of San Francisco's poorest and most underserved neighborhoods. And it's a place where, up until we opened the Bayview Child Health Center, there was only one pediatrician in practice to serve more than 10,000 children, right? Which for San Francisco is unheard of because it has one of the highest physician per capita ratios in the United States of America. But this is really, you know, the neighborhood that I came to work in where, you know, if you look at the health statistics for San Francisco, you know, for most neighborhoods in San Francisco, the leading cause of death is heart disease, like it is in most of the country. In a few neighborhoods, it was HIV/AIDS. But in Bayview Hunters Point, the number one cause of early mortality was violence. And that was the neighborhood where I ended up decided to hang a shingle.
And you make this point very well in the book, which is that in a neighborhood that has violence as an epidemic and street crime as a problem, you know, it's probably not surprising to us that children in that milieu have many adverse childhood experiences. But you point out that the original research that you cite from the CDC, Dr. Onda and Dr. Felitti from Kaiser, that their population was really a mostly white, mostly middle class or upper middle class population. And so these adverse childhood experiences are not at all unique to low income or socioeconomically deprived areas.
That's right. The original research was done in a community, it was done in Kaiser San Diego, and that population was 70% Caucasian, 70% college educated. They all had great health care. They were all members of Kaiser, and yet we saw this very high prevalence of adverse childhood experiences in that community. And, you know, since that study has been done, you know, the research continues to bear out that adverse childhood experiences happen in every community, to rich folks, poor folks, white folks, black and brown folks, and everyone in every shade in between. And for me, I think that's really powerful because it really helps us to understand that this isn't something that only happens in certain zip codes. This is all of us.
My understanding, too, is that you've been on tour promoting the book and that at almost every stop along the way, you do a reading or maybe sign some books, but people just come up to you and share their own stories. And this is something that happens to you. It happens. There's an example of it in the book where you make a presentation in a boardroom and you're a little worried that it's a little wonky and data-driven more than maybe anecdotal or that it should have been. And then afterward, you're kind of leaving, you're waiting at the elevator, and a woman who was in the room, Marjorie, comes up to you and says, "That was my story," or you were talking to me in that room. And can you just comment on that? I mean, how many times that's happened to you?
It happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time and in every setting. So whether I am, it's been really powerful actually on the book tour to see how many people come up to help me sign the book and say, "Oh my goodness, thank you so much for writing this book because this is my experience." But I am in rooms with, you know, sometimes it's folks who are educators, teachers, right? And they come up to me and say, "Oh my goodness, this is my history and I'm trying to be part of the solution." Sometimes it's funders, right? It's people who are writing checks to support this work. And so often folks come up to me and said, "Yeah, you know, this is my A score. I have my own history of trauma." Recently, I was in Seattle and I gave a talk at Microsoft. you know, as I was there trying to communicate to this, you know, group of folks and trying to make sure that it felt relevant to them, after my talk, the number of people who said, this is my own story, or my kids are experiencing ACEs right now, and I've been trying to figure out the best way to support them. And it really helps to bring home for me that there are no lines here. You know, when it comes to adverse childhood experiences and toxic stress, we're really dealing with a public health crisis, and we haven't begun to systematically put into place the right tools that we need for routine screening, for early detection, and for the intervention that the evidence shows us can dramatically improve outcomes for kids.
I want to come back to that, but I just want to return briefly to the memoir aspect of your story, because you allude to this. There was an article written about you, a profile in The New Yorker by Paul Tough in 2011, and you just briefly comment on it in the book and say that it literally changed your life overnight, and you kind of didn't even know sort of what the readership was or how it would change your life. But what happened to you next after that New Yorker profile came out?
So that was totally nuts, and I will have to say, the backstory to that is that when, you know, I was at a conference in New York for a lot of educators who were working with vulnerable communities, and I see this guy there who is like, looks like this, you know, Northeastern looking Caucasian guy, you know, he's sitting in the corner, he's not having lunch with anyone. And so I went over to sit next to him, I got my little box lunch, and I just said, hi, you know, I'm Nadine, you know, who are you? And he said, oh, my name's Paul Tough. I am a writer I'm an editor at the New York Times Magazine, and I wrote the book on Jeff Canada, who is a legendary educator. And immediately out of my mouth, literally, I don't even know how fast I was talking, I was just like, you know what you should be writing about? You should be writing about adverse childhood experiences. And I literally talked his ear off for a solid hour. At the end, as I was walking away, I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just put that guy through that. But when I got home, I still sent him 5 articles about adverse childhood experiences. And he ended up writing, he ended up spending a year researching this piece, interviewing folks all over the country, and shadowing me in clinic for weeks and weeks. And then when he wrote the piece, when it came out, I remember the next day on my voicemail, it was like, hi, this is NBC Nightly News. Can we talk to Nadine Burke-Harris? And I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And that really was a tremendous opportunity for me to start talking about adverse childhood experiences and toxic stress and lifting up the research and talking about solutions.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today, Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, founder and CEO of the Center for Youth Wellness in the Bayview neighborhood of San Francisco and an expert on adverse childhood experiences. Her new book is called The Deepest Well, Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. So after that article came out, you were getting calls from all over the place. So you wound up, I guess that led to you being able to open the Center for Youth Wellness. Tell us a little bit about the Center for Youth Wellness.
Yeah, so we had the Center for Youth Wellness is a clinic, a research center, and advocacy organization that we started in San Francisco in 2012. And really, the platform and the visibility that was generated from the New Yorker article was really instrumental in helping us be able to convince folks that this was really something important and worth doing and worth getting behind. And what we do is we have, you know, I've continued to provide clinical care, and I still see patients, you know, to this day, you know, every Thursday I see my patients. And we have a primary care clinic, so the Bayview Child Health Center, which is a clinic that I started in 2007. We still do what we do. And then the Center for Youth Wellness provides the wraparound services. So that includes mental health care, including psychology and psychiatry, home visiting, care coordination, also nutrition and exercise, mindfulness interventions, biofeedback, all of these things that are specifically designed to target an overactive stress response and to counteract the effects of toxic stress, right? So to reduce stress hormones, to reduce inflammation, and to enhance neuroplasticity. And so that is what our clinical work does. We also have an amazing research team that scours the literature to not only find the latest evidence-based interventions, but we're also doing some piloting of some really unique work. We're currently doing a randomized controlled trial to actually look at biomarkers for toxic stress, to look at markers along our, you know, in our immune system and our hormonal system that can help to identify, right, markers in the blood to identify toxic stress so that we can do a better job of diagnosis, but then also following patients to understand when our interventions are effective. So we're currently in the third year of this randomized controlled trial to validate our screening tool and then also to be able to identify some of these biomarkers. And the third arm of the work that we do, which I think is also critical when we're dealing with a public health crisis, is movement building work, raising awareness, and also arming folks with the tools to be able to address this issue. So we've done two things that I feel really proud of. One is that we've created a national pediatric practice community on ACE screening. Because even though the original ACE study came out two decades ago, right now only 4% of pediatricians in America are screening for adverse childhood experiences. And that's something that's got to change because all of the research tells us that when we do early detection and early intervention, kids have better outcomes.
So is this a case of it not catching on because either people don't feel empowered that we have adequate solutions, or is it just the workflow issue of like, I don't have time to do this because I'm a busy doctor and I have to do all these charts, that kind of thing, or is it both of those?
Both. It is exactly both. And that is what we are taking on with the National Pediatric Practice Community, is giving doctors tools, giving them research, giving them science, and then also helping them with training and things like what diagnosis code do you use, you know, and how do you train your staff? How do you even assess whether your clinic is ready to start ACE screening or not? We have all of those tools available at nppcaces.org. And the other thing that we have, we're actually just launched very recently, is a website called Stress Health. And that's really targeted at parents, family members, teachers, community members, to learn about toxic stress, to understand, you know, what that looks like, what are the symptoms look like. And then also, it's a place where folks can go online and take their own ACE test, right? Because in order for us to really look at this and begin, A, providing that support for kids that they need, but B, to, you know, when we're talking about two-thirds of the population, there are a lot of adults out there walking around with an overactive stress response. And there's a lot that people can do about it. And so that is what we are putting out there on the Stress Health website, is to help adults and caregivers understand what they can do.
So you lay out a vision of a future, and I mean, clearly it involves screening on a mass scale for adverse childhood experiences right in the doctor's office. And I would assume, I may not have this correct, but I mean, in schools as well, like you want people to find out if these things are going on so that intervention can happen at an earlier stage. But what are your other future visions for what we'll have, you know, down the pike? Like assuming when we get there that everyone is getting screened adequately for adverse childhood experiences, what kinds of, you know, treatments and therapy will we have in the future?
You know, one thing I want to clarify is that I don't necessarily recommend that we screen in school, but what is that every child be screened, hopefully at their doctor's office, and that we have things like systems that enable kids to be able to get the support that they need in the school environment. For example, one thing I'd love to see is, you know, that piece of paper that, you know, the doctor has to sign in order for a kid to get into kindergarten, right? To say they've had their physical, they've had their vaccines, they've had their TB test. I would love on that piece of paper just one additional checky box that says they've had an ACE screen, right? Mm-hmm. And then the same way that as a doctor, you know, I sign the form for any of my kids with asthma and they, you know, they go to school, they have their asthma action plan. And the school knows exactly what to do. They know which medications to give and when and what the symptoms and the signs are. I would love to see kids going to school with a toxic stress action plan, right? That has the same kind of stoplight, like, you know, green, they're doing fine. Yellow, watch out. These are the symptoms to look out for. You know, when a child is showing these symptoms, that's a sign that they may be having trouble or struggling. And it's like, or when they're showing these symptoms, that's like, you know, red light. They really need intervention. Here is what we need to be able to do to respond to support that child and ensure their health and safety, right? That would is something I would love to see. I would also love to see. There's so many things right now that we already have that we can be deploying at larger scale, right? Things like integrated primary care and behavioral health, things like team-based care. But in addition, I would love to see every judge, every police officer, you know, every child care worker, every bus driver to be able to understand what are the symptoms of toxic stress, right? And how to respond in a way that helps to de-escalate a child's biology instead of, reacting in a way that is, you know, harsh and reactive and punitive, right? Reacting in a way that understands, you know, what happens in a child's body when they have an overactive stress response. So those are some of the things that I would love to see. And, you know, what's fascinating is that in the epilogue of the book, I talk a little bit about, you know, how we're even using this work internationally as part of our strategy for global security.
Yeah, right? that was really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you where I got the idea to throw that in the book is because I actually was invited down to speak in Jamaica at, the Child Development Agency did a huge Know Your ACEs campaign. And ultimately, this work was supported by the U.S. State Department. And when I was talking with the ambassador for Jamaica, what he said was, this is a security issue. For all of these kids who are in gangs and militias, they all have high ACEs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we actually can be, you know, investing in reducing the ACE scores of these kids, for the United States, it's in our interest to prevent the indoctrination of these kids into these gangs.
Wow. Well, it's absolutely a brilliant book. I can't recommend it enough. It's called The Deepest Well, Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. And it's by my guest today, Nadine Brooke Harris, Dr. Nadine Brooke Harris, who is the founder and CEO of the Center for Youth Wellness in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood of San Francisco. Dr. Nadine Brooke Harris, congratulations on all of your work, really in recognition and this book. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. If you've missed any of our shows, you can stream them online anytime on a smartphone, tablet, or computer. Just go to our website, studiotulsa.org. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.